Visiting today with Dr. Liz Wagstrom from the National Pork Producers Council. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. Good to talk to you.
You too. Well, I know you guys had your Legislative Action Conference back in September. What were some of your big takeaways from that conference?
Well, obviously in Washington, D.C., things are a bit uncertain. But as we look at the lame duck session that's going to be happening, there's some major issues we need to worry about. First is we've been asking for a COVID relief package that for producers. The pork industry suffered extreme losses due to market disruptions, and we were already in a pretty vulnerable position because we've been at the tip of the spear on trade retaliation for the last 2 years. And so within that COVID package, we need funding to help farmers who had to depopulate animals or donate animals because of the market disruptions. We need efforts around our increasing our funding for the National Animal Health Laboratory Network and also for grants, prevention grants, and that would be as part of that package. So the COVID relief package is probably priority number one. And that's followed very closely by concerns we have over funding for Customs and Border Protection. Customs and Border Protection agricultural agents are funded through user fees on international airline tickets, as well as international cargo shipments. And with international airline travel falling over 95% since the start of the pandemic, we are in a real shortfall to keep funding for those inspectors. And it's a highly trained workforce, and many of them have been deployed at the express package locations and mail locations to inspect those as well. But our fear is that they're going to run out of funding and they're going to end up having to let people go. And then when airline travel comes back, we're not going to have that highly trained, highly effective workforce.
And well, that's really important. That's a really important job too, because that's how we're keeping foreign diseases from our hogs.
Absolutely. They are our first line of defense. They're highly trained. They worked very hard to make sure that their inspectors are aware of African swine fever, that they're looking for any illegal products that could be carrying it. And so in 2019, we were really pleased to hear that they had increased the number of referrals to agricultural inspectors over 2018. And they also had increased by over 5% the number of products that they interdicted. So that meant that was just that many more illegal agricultural products, whether they were meat or plant products, that were kept out of the United States.
Well, speaking of ASF, give us an update on how we're doing with that right now.
Well, the global situation continues to expand. So we've seen wild boar in Germany, and the range of the positive wild boar in Germany has expanded. In Europe, it's still very much a disease of wild boar. They've got a very dense population, and very few commercial pig farms have been affected. Unlike Asia, where you see in Vietnam and China especially, that it's been much more a disease of the commercial pig herds. And so both situations are extremely concerning for us. You know, we have had a lot of travelers in the past before COVID from both of those areas of the world. And we also bring in a lot of products, especially from Asia, that, you know, we have concerns over. So we continue to work with USDA and FDA on trying to make sure we are as safe as possible. I think one of the things we're really proud of is, as an industry, with the pork industry, working with the feed industry, and keeping USDA and FDA in the loop on these discussions, is that the industry has largely implemented holding times on any feed ingredients that are imported from ASF positive countries. And what that does, it would allow, if there were any contamination, and we know that's unlikely, but it's not a zero risk. So there is potentially some risk there. We have implemented these holding times so that any virus that could potentially be in a product would be inactivated over time. So that's something the industry is doing for themselves along with research, and then really coordinating on what next steps could be with USDA and FDA.
Well, I know a lot of producers are having problems with feral swine and wild hogs on their lands. What is the best course of action when you have those?
We're really happy that in the Farm Bill, the Wildlife Services got significant amount of funding for feral pig control, and that's part of USDA. So we recommend that producers know who their Wildlife Services and their DNR agents are so that they could call if they find populations so they could be trapped and disposed of. Actually, USDA's also has programs within the National Conservation Research Services, Resources Service as well, NRCS. I know the acronym, I have to think about what the words are. That also can provide funding for helping to trap animals and then help producers rebuild fences or restore damage that feral pigs could have caused. So the other things is, of course, to try to make sure if you've got feed stored for your domestic animals, to try to keep it in areas where the wild pigs can't get into. But anything we can do to minimize the population growth of those animals is desirable. We'll never be able to eradicate them in the United States, but we surely want to slow up their population growth as much as possible.
Because people need to understand, these aren't like sweet little pigs that you can go and pet and befriend. These are destructive, mean pigs.
They are destructive and they can be very aggressive. They can be really dangerous.
Well, you were in Oklahoma not too long ago, up here for a show at the fairgrounds, so you got to experience our awesome ice storm. So you and I were talking a little bit about the crazy Oklahoma weather, and I was just saying, you know, for us as humans, it's hard enough to deal with the crazy temperatures that go from one extreme to the other, but I would imagine it's probably pretty hard on our animals as well. How can producers really like expect that coming up in the next few months when we're going to have all this winter-like weather?
Sure, it is crazy. And that, as I look at, is one of the advantages of modern pork production, where we're keeping animals in climate control conditions so that we've got computer controlled ventilation fans and we've got our cooling cells. You know, one of the things we always encourage producers this time of the year is to make sure your generators are working, make sure you've got fuel for your generators, test them at minimum weekly to make sure that they kick on and are running appropriately. Because as we well know, that if you lose electricity in a barn full of pigs, and if you don't, your curtain drops don't work correctly, you can have devastating results with animal deaths. So making sure you got those emergency action plans, including the generators, know all the numbers for your emergency personnel, whether it's fire and sheriff, and have that action plan for what happens if I can't get feed delivered for a week because of the roads. If I do I have enough fuel for my generator to run for a week or 10 days, you know, as you saw there a few weeks back in Oklahoma. So all of those are good things, just really good practices to consider. What is the worst case scenario and how would I handle it?
Well, Liz, thank you so much for visiting with us today. Always a pleasure. Thanks for all the updates.
Thank you, Casey. It was great seeing you.